Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll continue with part 2 of The Wisdom of God, as we turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 7, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
He says an interesting thing here, that this wisdom of God in a mystery, this hidden wisdom, God ordained it before the ages for our glory. But none of the rulers of this age knew this. So, of course, they didn't know it. And Paul says, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they understood that God's ways were different, that God's ways were above their ways, had they understood that there was a different means of obtaining salvation than what they thought, they would not have done what they did. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So Paul's saying the problem with these that have rejected the gospel is that their eye can't see, their ear hasn't heard. It's never entered into their heart what God has prepared. And he's now going to make this contrast between those who are spiritual and those who are the natural men. So the natural person, as Paul's going to say, spiritual things have no appeal to them. They can't see these things. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. We use this verse, and I like to use it that way, to talk about, you know, the wondrous things that God has in store for us, which it does say, but Paul's using it in a slightly different way. He's using it to support his point that the natural man doesn't get the things of the Spirit. So the natural man doesn't get the things of the Spirit, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So Paul's talking here about this revelation. What the gospel is basically telling us is that God himself has revealed himself to us. That's how we can know God. Man, in general, can't find God on his own. Apart from God revealing himself, there's no possibility that man's ever going to find him. The natural man isn't even looking to find God. The natural man is blinded to and oblivious to the spiritual realities. They're hidden. And I think many of us probably would be able to relate to that from our own personal experience. So, isn't it true? For years, you walked around oblivious to spiritual things. I know I sure did. I was just living my life, doing my thing, and I couldn't see anything beyond that. That's the state of everybody around us. So, you know, sometimes what happens to us, though, as Christians is, you know, we come to the Lord, we're with Christ, we grow, we learn the scriptures, and we experience this life in the Spirit. And so we see things clearly. But we forget what things were previously like for us, and we fail to recognize that that's what's going on with everybody around us. And then when people are doing weird things, bad things, terrible things, making what we would consider foolish decisions, We sometimes wonder, well, why don't they get it? You know, how could anybody buy into that? Or how could anybody agree with that or believe that? Just think about where you used to be. That's where the vast majority of people are today. The views that we have, the moral standards that we hold them because of the work of God in our lives. Before I was a Christian, I didn't have a high moral standard. It was live and let live. You know, it was just whatever. And that's the attitude of a lot of people around us today. Most people, but we, a lot of times, we look on in frustration. We say, what's the matter with them? What, are they stupid? I can't believe that they're going for that. I can't believe that they're buying that. I can't believe that they're supporting that. Because to us, it's so clear. That's wrong. People shouldn't do that. To us, it's clear because our eyes have been opened. But it wasn't clear before, was it? And it's not clear to them. So all of that to say, we have to recognize, and I bring this up because I think sometimes we're expecting way more from the world than they're able to even ultimately do. We're expecting them to act spiritual. We're expecting them to do the right thing. We're expecting them sometimes to have a godly view of things. It's not in them. They don't even have the faculty. That's, the Bible says they're dead in trespasses and sins. And maybe there was a time when there was pressure in the culture to live a certain way, or maybe people were brought up in a certain way to say, this is right, this is wrong, this is proper, this is improper, and all of that. And that would keep people in check. But those days are long gone. Those days are way behind us. So the hope that we're ever going to go out on a moral crusade and persuade everybody to agree with us about some of our views of morality, for example, it's not going to happen. But that's okay, because that doesn't really accomplish what God wants to accomplish in the first place. What God wants to do is he wants to get the gospel to people. He wants to get their eyes opened. He wants to get them out of the darkness into the light. He wants to turn them from natural people into truly spiritual people. And so Paul here is showing now the contrast. And in this section here, and going into the third chapter, which we'll do next time, but Paul speaks of three different types of people. There's the spiritual person who, it's Paul's way of describing the believer, the person who's been born of the Spirit. There's the natural person who is the person who is still dead in their trespasses and sins. They've not been made alive in Christ. They're not born again of the Spirit. And then there's the carnal person. So the natural man, the spiritual man, the carnal man. Paul is looking at all three of them here. So again, let's look at what he says regarding them. He says, we, verse 12, have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Like he said back in verse 10, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, that's where man is at. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So you see, what's happened to us is God is, he's given us revelation. He's given us an understanding. It's a supernatural thing that's happened. See, the Corinthians were content to rest on a sophisticated natural thing, the human intellect. Paul says, no, human intellect at its best is not sufficient. That's not what we need. We don't need, like the myth continues on to this very day, we don't need to be more and more educated to solve the world's problems. As C.S. Lewis once said, to some degree, higher education is just creating more clever devils. And there's a lot of truth to that. So it's not about a sophisticated intellect. That will not save us. That will not get us any closer to where we need to be. We need a divine revelation. We need God Himself to intervene in our lives. We need the Lord to reveal Himself to us. And Paul says that's what He's done. God has revealed to us by His Spirit the deep things of God. Now, I think every one of us know what it's like to, this is a little bit of a side note, but every one of us knows what it's like to read your Bible and to wonder, what in the world is this talking about? What does this mean? Anybody ever feel that way when you're reading your Bible? But, you know, we find ourselves there, right? But listen, here's some good news. God, He wants to reveal to you and to me those things, the deep things of God. No one knows a man like the spirit of the man in him. Likewise, no one knows God like the Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of God who has brought us this revelation. The amazing thing about the Word of God and about our ability to know the Lord in a deeper way and to grow in Him is that we can go straight to Him and say, Lord, would You show me what this means? Would You show me what this is talking about? Would You reveal to me, Lord, what this is saying and what its application is to my life? That's the wonderful thing that we have. And there's nothing that surpasses that. There's nothing that can replace that. There's nothing that can be a substitute for that. Human wisdom in certain areas can be very helpful, but in the most important areas of a person's spiritual life, nothing can substitute for this. And so we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And some would say that it's comparing spiritual things with spiritual people, or comparing spiritual people with spiritual things. So the idea is that because we're now spiritual, God is teaching us spiritual things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so for us, we have this amazing and wonderful thing. Now remember, the Corinthians are kind of feeling, like I said, they're a little bit embarrassed about the gospel. Paul's saying, what are you embarrassed about? This is the great wisdom. This is the wisdom that surpasses everything else. You get this wisdom, and everything else will pale in comparison. Now, again, obviously, I'm not saying that we, you know, there are certain areas of life and aspects of life we've got to study and, you know, all of that. But we're talking here about our spiritual lives, which translates into much of our lives practically, primarily the way we live, the way we treat one another, the way we view the world. You know, for our worldview, for our understanding of life and reality, we need to be going to this book over and over and over again. Men have got all kinds of theories, all kinds of philosophies, all kinds of ideas about what life is about and what it's not about and where it came from and where it's headed and all of that. But we've got the primary source here. We've got God's Word. We've got the Spirit of God. And so we go to the Lord. And when it comes to how to live your life, when it comes how to love your wife or your husband, when it comes down to how to raise your children, when it comes to how to conduct yourself on your job, or how to relate to your fellow man, or how to view what's going on in the culture. When it comes to those things, this is our primary source. We want to be looking at the world through this lens. The Corinthians thought that this wasn't really all that great. these philosophers over here, they've got some pretty good ideas. Paul's saying, no, this is it. You've got the ultimate. Why would you even be interested in anything less? And then he says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So that's the reality. Many of us lived it. We know it by experience. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness. So we have to pray for people that God will open their eyes. You know, how many here maybe heard the gospel the first time and thought, that is foolish? But yet, eventually you came around. Obviously, somebody was praying for you. The Spirit of God was dealing with you. But from the purely natural standpoint, when you first hear the things of God, they can appear very foolish. I remember one time, this is ages ago, but I remember witnessing to this guy and, you know, talking to him about Jesus. And you know what he said to me? He goes, anybody could have done what Jesus did. I don't get why Jesus is so important. You know, what did he do that was a big deal? Well, he died on the cross for your sins. Well, anybody could have done that. Well, this guy obviously just didn't have a clue. But, you know, that's the natural man. Why would somebody need to die on a cross for me? Why, you mean somebody else being punished for, in my place? That doesn't make sense. Some people say that doesn't sound very fair. Some people have said that is immoral, that somebody would be punished for somebody else. An innocent person be punished for guilty people. That's immoral, they say. So that's the natural perspective on it. It's foolishness to the natural man. But he who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is rightly understood by no one. So this is the problem. Again, the natural man doesn't understand. So when we approach people with things that seem so crystal clear to us and so obvious, and they don't get it, we get frustrated, and sometimes we get upset, and sometimes we get so discouraged we just give up. We can't do any of those things. We have to recognize, wait a second, there's a problem here. They don't have the capacity at this point, and this is where we pray, Lord, open their eyes. Lord, soften their heart. Lord, awaken them to the reality of these things. And you see, they don't understand you. Your family doesn't understand you. You've just become weird. You're just this religious nut. You want to go to church all the time. What's the matter with you? And you carry a Bible around and you like pray in restaurants and you do just so many weird things. People are freaked out. They don't get it. I love hearing testimonies, and I heard one recently, you know, just somebody who was just like that. They were just so, everything about the Christian thing just seemed so nutty to them. And now they're doing all those nutty things that they once couldn't believe that, you know, their friend was doing. But this is the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. He who is spiritual discerns all things. Now, the spiritual here, Paul is talking about a mature spiritual person. A mature spiritual person has a good grip on reality. This is what the Word of God will give you. The Word of God will give you a grip on reality. You'll know what's real. Now, we're living in a world where there's a spin on everything out there. And it's amazing today how, you know, we're seeing in the church even, there's a lot of spin going on in the church and a lot of things that were one time very clear, and they still ought to be very clear because the Bible hasn't changed. But now there's all this talk about, well, we need to reconsider this and we're not really sure about that. And we don't know if that's really a problem or not. I mean, you know, after all, maybe that was just a cultural issue back in those days. And, you know, we are in the scientific age and we have discovered a lot of things that they didn't know previously. And, you know, Christians thought a lot of wrong things in the past, and maybe we've been wrong about some of these things. And, you know, this is the atmosphere that we find ourselves in today. And we're in a time where people are, on the one hand, they're boldly proclaiming their faith in Christ, and on the other hand, they're boldly promoting things that are clearly contradictory to what Jesus said in his word. So what do we do? How do we navigate this? Well, we got to be in this book. We got to take it to heart. We've got to saturate our lives in it. We've got to mature spiritually. We've got to become spiritual adults so that we can discern all things. In other words, we can understand all things properly because we understand them from the biblical point of view. There's basically two ways to interpret life in the world. There's the biblical way, and then there's man's way. And there's it seems like a ton of variety out there with man's way, but when you boil it down, it's all very similar. But God has given us an understanding. And as we get to know him in greater ways through the Spirit of God working in our hearts and opening up to us his word and giving us understanding, then just the whole picture. You ever have those times? I wish they were always, but, you know, there's these times, moments, sometimes maybe seasons even, where, you know, everything is just so clear. You can see it so clearly. Man, I want that to be more consistently my experience. That it's just, it's clear. And that will happen as we mature spiritually, because he says in verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. That's amazing. You can't get any better than that. The mind of Christ. Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to be smart? Get into Jesus. He'll make you smart. He's the smartest one. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Not just a little bit here and there. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ because we're indwelt by the Spirit. And through the Spirit, we're taught the Word. And so more and more as we mature, not through the wisdom of the world, like Paul says, but through this other wisdom, the more and more we mature through God's wisdom, the more we are thinking like Christ. And remember this, as a person thinks, so they are. The more we're thinking like Christ, guess what? The more we will be acting like Christ. The more we will be behaving and conducting ourselves like Christ. So we have the mind of Christ. These Corinthians had the mind of Christ, but they thought that they needed something else. They needed some human wisdom. Paul says, no, you've got the ultimate wisdom in Christ. Grow in him. Cultivate that relationship and become mature Christians. And that's when things will be clearer and clearer and clearer to us as we walk through life. And that's when people will also be able to look at us and see more and more a likeness of Jesus.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson, as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Building God's Temple. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Wisdom of God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0188, Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBroderson and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBroderson. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.